along with the title of the message on Easter this morning. Most of you probably know it by heart. I'm thinking that you know it by heart. Maybe you don't. But it's one that goes like this. See if you know. It's actually about an egg. Now, here at our church, we do an egg toss up at my house on the 4th of July, and sometimes those eggs fall in soft grass and they don't break. But this egg was on top of a high place, and it fell down on cement, and the yolk ran all over, and the egg was busted up, and it could never be fixed. And here's how the nursery rhyme goes.
I know what it is.
You know, Bobby?
It's Humpty Dumpty.
Yes! All right. Here it is. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. That's right. Once that egg fell, nobody could put it together. And that really goes along with my message, because Easter is a time when we think of the springtime. Let's bring it up. And during the winter, it's hopeless, and if you try to plant seeds, you can't really expect them to grow. But in the springtime, as it gets warmer and nicer, you can expect things to grow. But you know what? When our Lord came, and he was put to death, not on Friday, it was Wednesday.
Right.
Passover Wednesday. And he was put to death when the Passover had been prepared. He was the Passover lamb. Amen.
Yeah.
And he died on that cross, and his disciples, you have to understand, when they saw the blood gushing out of his side, when the Roman soldier hit it with a spear, out came blood and water, their hopes were dashed.
Right.
And then after they carried his body and put it in a grave, in a tomb, in a cave, they rolled this large stone in the front, and it was final. He's dead. It's over. Our hopes are over. And then the Romans put a seal on the tomb with the official decision of the Roman government. There is a dead man in there. Nobody's to tamper with his grave. He's dead. He is gone. And the disciples were hopeless. And they had no hope. And at the end of Passover, they had no hope. Now, I want to say to you this morning, you have had times in your life when your human hopes have been smashed. This world smashes your hopes. It gives you a lot of hope, but it takes it away, and it smashes. The devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He tries to make you hope. And by the way, drugs are a false hope. Sex outside of marriage, false hope. All the things that the world offers you that you think are going to give you something, you find out it gives you nothing. Just like the young lady I talked to yesterday, I hope she's here today on the bus. I talked to her. She said she was coming, but she's had have a baby, but no husband, no man, no show. She put her hope in a guy, and she said he's a loser. That's the way this world is. No hope. But my message for you this morning, if you've been smashed by this world and you've had your hope smashed, is he is the hope for your hopelessness. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is the hope for your hopelessness. Number one, I only have 2 points, because the Lord lets your human hopes die. And I'd like you to look at that in John 11, verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary, verse 2, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." What did you think they hoped for? Their brother was sick. Their brother was about ready to die. And they sent for the Lord, and they knew that the Lord had often healed sick people. They knew the Lord was their friend. They were his disciples. He loved them, it says. And they knew, because the Lord loved them, that he would heal Lazarus and Lazarus would not die. And that was their human hope. And they prayed to the Lord to come. But guess what? The Lord did not come. The Lord stayed longer and longer, and he just did not come. And I want you to see that in verse 4. I'll read it. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's what Jesus wanted. He didn't want human hopes to live. You may have your hopes and your dreams, but can I say to you something? Jesus will let your hopes and your dreams die. We don't need human hopes. We need divine hope. We need God's hope that he gives us in the Bible. And that's what we're talking about this Easter Sunday. And you know what? People have their human hopes, and God lets them die. Our first pastor, African-American Charles Ware, his picture's out there, a friend of mine, my best friend for many years in college, and Charles Ware helped to plant this church. And he told me, Bloom, he said, when I was a senior in high school, I had hoped to be a good guy. I was in an all-white high school. I was a black kid in an all-white high school. He said, I was the president of the school. They voted me president. I was very popular, most popular guy in a public school. He said, but I had hoped. He said, I had hoped to be a good person. He said, but I was doing things in my senior year that I myself said I would never do. Have you done things wrong that you said you would never do? He began to do things that were against his own conscience. And as he did, his human hopes that he would be a good guy, that he would go to heaven someday, that began to die, and he was discouraged. At that time, he was on the basketball team, and his school basketball star. He played center. And on that team, he had a friend of his named Leonard that was at that church, and he came with the youth pastor, Fred Napora, and they came to his house March of 1968. And they came and they knocked on the door on a Monday night. And they took him to the Bible. And they said, Charles, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He realized, I've come short. I've sinned. I'm coming short. I don't measure up. They said, now, Charles, the wages of sin is death. You must die. And not only that, you have to pay for your sin by a second death. You have to be cast into hell. And his human hopes died of going to heaven. His human hopes died as far as his future. He realized he was condemned to go to hell, to die and go to hell. And then they said the good news about the Lord. And boy, was he ready to receive the good news. And I wonder today, if your human hopes are still there and you're still holding on to your human hopes, I want to tell you today the Lord wants them to die. I want to tell you today that Jesus kills your misguided human hopes of being good enough to go to heaven. Jesus kills them. God says, I am God. I kill and I make alive. And Jesus kills your human hopes of going to heaven. And he says this, and I want you to see John 11, verse 6. Here's what it says about Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he abode. That means he remained 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wait a minute. Why didn't he go to Jesus? You know, why didn't he go to Lazarus? My mother's very sick right now. My daughter's been taking care of her. And I feel like I need to go out, perhaps even tomorrow, to go out to see my mother and to help my daughter, help my mother. And I don't want to wait. I want to go faster because I realize my mother's very sick right now. Now you'd think Jesus, if he loved Lazarus, he's sick. He's going to go to him and heal him. But no, he waits 2 days. He waits so long that he died. They had the funeral. Jesus wasn't even at the funeral. They buried him. Jesus, his friend, wasn't even there. Mary loved Jesus. She sacrificed for him. Martha loved Jesus. She served him. Lazarus did. But Jesus let him die. What a sad thing that is. And you know what? He allows your human hopes to die. Do you know the disciples had all kind of hope in Jesus that he was the Messiah? That he would be the king that would reign over Israel. And then when he got to be king over Israel, the whole world would come under his kingdom and they were going to reign with him. By the way, do you know what that is? God's future for his people to reign with him over the earth? And they had that hope. They wanted it to happen. But what happened? All of a sudden, they went to Passover. It was exciting. The crowds were there. They saw Palm Sunday when they put the palm branches down. And they said, Hosanna, hail to the King of the Jews. And they said, this is it. He's going to be accepted. And we're going to see the kingdom come. And we're going to reign with him. You know what happened? The leaders of the Jewish people got them to turn on him. And just a few days later, when they said, Hosanna, they were yelling out, crucify him! Crucify him! It's kind of like when you listen to the news, the mainstream media, it screws up your brain. And that's what has happened to America. We need to be brainwashed with God's hope. That's why you should be in church. Not just once a year on Easter Sunday, but Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. You need to be brainwashed with the Word of God. Amen. And so his disciples, he told them about this, but they didn't get it. And their hopes were dashed when they took him and they arrested him. And they began to beat him. And they began to spit in his face and pull his beard out at the roots and push him in a crowd. They'd have a crowd circle him and push him back and forth, and mock him. And they put a gorgeous robe on him, put a reed in his head, a crown on his head, but thorns 2-3 inches deep. And they pushed it into his head. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they made him carry the Roman cross up the Via Della Rosa to the place called Golgotha. I was there. It looks like a skull. And there they nailed his hands to the cross. And they nailed his feet and they put the thing in the ground with a thud. And all his bones came out of joint and he was trembling. There on that cross, they saw him die. And you have to go push yourself up by your legs to breathe out. So you can breathe back in, because they couldn't breathe out on the cross. And they broke the thieves' legs, so they couldn't push themselves up. When they went to Jesus, he had had so much suffering, he had already bled out. So they put the spear in his side, and out came blood and water. And the disciples' hopes were dashed. He's dead. The Messiah's dead. Our hope is over. And they were so discouraged. And let me tell you, the Lord let that happen because he lets your human hope die so he can give you a higher hope. Amen. He is a higher power. He is the higher power. And he lets all those other higher powers die. So you know what I find out? The hardest problem in America is not getting people saved and to believe in Jesus. The hardest problem in America is getting people to die. I mean, to get their human hopes to die. To get them to give up on themselves and to give up on their hope to get themselves to heaven. That is the hardest problem. And many people think they're going to make it, but very few people out of 8 billion people are going to be saved. Amen. Benny, good to see you. Vanessa, good to see you. Good to see you guys. Amen. Praise God. I'll just be honest with you on this Easter Sunday. You may have all these Easter hopes. I knew a lady named Veronica. I remember when I was a little kid, we camped at Grand Haven in Lake Michigan. We were in tents. My dad was talking to these young girls. They're about 21, 22. I was a little kid. The girl's name was Veronica. And I remember that. And Veronica said, I love to go to church on Easter. I just feel so much better. It just makes my conscience sad. I just feel better in my conscience. It may have made her conscience feel better, but it's not going to save her from hell. That's a false hope. You've heard of fake news? That's a fake hope. We got a lot of fake hopes. We got a lot of fake gods. We got a lot of fake Jesuses. But Jesus Christ in the Bible is God in the flesh who died on that cross, was buried, but thank God he rose again. But he lets your human hopes die. You need to have your human hopes die so that you will give up on your hopes. You'll repent of your way and do it God's way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so I'm saying he lets your human hopes die today. He does that, and you need to know that. And Lazarus was sick. They said, oh, we just hope he'll make him better. Oh, Jesus, just make him better. But you know what? Lazarus was terminal. That meant that Jesus was going to let him die because he was declared terminally ill unless he was healed, and Jesus wouldn't heal him. I think of David Kresge. Jesse's here. Bonnie, his wife, is here. We had the funeral yesterday, and David's body was here. And I remember when Jesse asked for prayer that David would not die, that he would live. And Jesus didn't answer that prayer. He let him be terminal. And then he let him die. And we had his funeral and committed his body. But you know what? It's not over for David Kresge.
Amen.
And I want to tell you that death is our greatest enemy. But on this Resurrection Sunday, amen, Jesus has something better than death.
That's right.
And your human hopes of going to heaven by your good works and your religious practices, though, they have to die. They have to die, and if they haven't died yet, may they die today. May Jesus put them to death today. He has a sharp two-edged sword, and with one side of the sword he kills. With the other side he makes alive. May he let your human hopes die of saving yourself today, just like he let David Kresge die. But it's not over for David. I'm telling you, Jesus will let your human hopes die because he says in Titus chapter 2, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. No good work will help get you into God's favor and into God's heaven. He is the hope for your hopelessness because the Lord lets your human hopes die. But let me say secondly, because the Lord gives you the fulfillment of his hope. He gives you the fulfillment of his hope. I remember going to a seminar by a man named Bill Gothard when I was in college at Baptist Bible College. We went down to Lansdale, PA. They had a big seminar there. And he said something about a vision. He said, when God gives you a vision or a hope, he said, there's the birth of the vision, and then the death of the vision, and then the fulfillment of the hope or the vision by God's help and power. In other words, to get that divine hope fulfilled, you need God. You can't do it. By the way, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing.
Right.
And that's many of your problems today. You're trying to do it for the Lord or for somebody, yourself. You're not doing it with the Lord. He's not in it. And without me, you can do nothing. But he lets your human hopes die in order that he might give you the fulfillment of his hope, the fulfillment of the vision. I think of the birth of the Lord. They waited 4,000 years for the birth of the Lord. And you know what that's all about? That's Christmas time. Amen? You know, they're inventing all these holidays that were not really part of the celebration of this nation was a Christian nation. Remember, they had Christmas, and that was supposed to celebrate what? The birth of Christ? They waited 4,000 years for the birth of Christ. Now, then they said, well, we'll have Kwanzaa, and a lot of try to get people sidetracked on Kwanzaa. It's not about Kwanzaa. It's about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's about Jesus Christ. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them sucker you away. They don't care about you. They're just trying to sucker you away from Jesus. And so, yeah, that was Christmas. And then we had all of that happen, and Jesus grew up and all the hope in him. And then on Good Wednesday, they took him and crucified him. And that's the hope that died, the vision that died. And then Easter Sunday, early in the morning, before dawn, guess what? He walked out of the grave alive.
Amen.
The tomb is empty. I was over there. He's not in there.
Hallelujah.
Muhammad's bones are somewhere.
Yep.
Right.
Buddha's bones are somewhere.
Right.
Joseph Smith's bones are somewhere. But Jesus' bones are up with him in the third heaven. He's at the right hand of God, and he is by his Spirit in our midst right here. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. By the way, I know because he gave me divine hope.
Amen.
I had given up on human hope when I looked in the Bible and I saw I was a sinner on my way to hell and I didn't know how to get saved. And I prayed to the Lord to have mercy on me. And then he showed me when he died on that cross, he paid for my sins. He paid for the sins of the world. So that we can have hope. I'm so glad we got people from all over this area because do you know what? God's love is wider than our love. I had a guy years ago, we got to a certain number in the church. He said, Pastor, let's... Now, I wasn't a pastor then. I was like a helper. But he said, Randy, let's keep it right where it is. We don't want any more people in. Let me tell you, there's room at the cross of Jesus for you. There's room for you. He died to save the world.
Yep.
And if you come to Jesus Christ, who is died on that cross to kill our human hopes and to kill our sin and to kill Satan's rule over our life, if you come to Jesus Christ, you won't just come to a dead Christ. Notice there's no Jesus on this cross. There's an empty cross.
Yeah.
There's an empty tomb.
Yeah.
You come to the living Christ. And you're saved by him. And what a blessing it is. You know, he was born in Bethlehem. But before he was born in Bethlehem, about 1,500 years before that, he talked to a man named Moses. Moses said, what should I call your name? He said, my name is I Am. Now, what did he mean by I Am? He said, I am that I am. What did he mean by that? Well, what he meant by that, when you're a slave down there, Moses, in Egypt, and you're under Pharaoh in Egypt, and they're beating you with whips, I am all that you need to be freed from the power of Pharaoh and your slave masters. He meant when you're pinned by Pharaoh with the Israelite people up against the Red Sea and you see no way out, he meant I am your way through the sea, and I am the one who'll split the sea and let you go through. I am the one that will drown your enemies. The host of Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. He meant by saying my name is I am that when you're out in the wilderness and you're hungry and you have no food, I am all that you need to give you bread from heaven to fill you with good things. I'm glad I'm not living on old Biden's economy.
Right.
I'm living on God's economy.
Hey.
You put God first.
Yep.
You seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto
That's
you.
Right.
And I have not seen the righteous forsaken myself, nor his seed begging bread. I'm saying to you, I am will take care. And he brought the manna from heaven. He took care of them. I am all that you need. When you're dying of thirst and you don't have water, and you can only last about 3 days without water, he said, I am the water that flows to quench your thirst in the desert. So here he is. Here he is, and Mary and Martha, their human hopes have been dashed. And he says to Martha, he says this, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. What does the Lord Jesus mean by that, saying, I am the resurrection and the life? That is, when you have the dead body of your husband, like Bonnie has, laying there in place, that Jesus said, I am the one that raises him up.
Hey.
I'm going to raise him back up. Nobody can do that. You can't put an egg together. You can't put Humpty Dumpty together.
Nope.
Once a person dies, nobody can raise them from the dead. There's only one. That's the one that said, I am.
Yep.
I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He says it in the Bible. And he said in John chapter 11, these wonderful words of hope on this Easter Sunday morning, and I'll read them to you. Here's what he said in verse 25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know what? Martha had just said to him, I know that Lazarus is going to be raised at the last day when the God raises the dead. I know that's going to happen. And Jesus said to her, but you don't understand. The resurrection is right here with you right now. And he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And there's two ways in which that's true. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have faith in your heart in Him, though you die someday, He'll raise your body back up. I don't care where the atoms of it are, He'll bring them all back together. And He'll make you better than you were in the first place. He'll raise you up. But you know what? You're spiritually dead here. And you try to fill it with relationships like fornication, family even, which is a good thing, but it won't take God's place. You try to fill it with alcohol. You try to drug it down with pot and other drugs, methamphetamines and all kinds. You try to do it with heavy metal music and rock music, and it feels good. But you come down from all that. You come down from that, don't you? And you still have that God-shaped vacuum that only the I am, that's what he meant. In addition, he said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, dead in your heart, dead in your spirit. Because everybody, like Humpty Dumpty, you fell into sin through Adam, and we are born with a dead spirit. Religion can't replace a dead spirit. Only the great I am can. He is the living Christ who died, was buried, and rose again.
Amen.
You need to look to Him.
Amen.
Have your faith in Him.
Yes.
And you'll be saved. That's what America needs today. We need the old-time preaching of the old-time gospel. And Jesus said it. He said, I'm the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he concluded it this way, verse 26. And he that liveth and believeth in me, you're waiting for that, weren't you, shall never die. I came to believe in him many years ago. I'm never going to die. You say, Pastor, come on. You're going to die. You're getting to be old. Your body's getting a little older. I feel good. But I may die physically. I may die physically. But you know what? Listen to me. I may die physically. Could get in an accident. Something could happen. Could die. But I'm never going to die. You know why? Because when you believe in Jesus, His Spirit lives inside of your spirit. And when the soul leaves this body, that's the real Randy. You're just seeing Randy's house. When the soul leaves Pastor Randy's body, it's not dying. He said, I'll never leave you. Nor forsake you. And angels will greet me just like they greet every believer, and they'll take us through the sky, up through outer space, up into the third heaven to see the beautiful city of the New Jerusalem, where the streets are paved not with potholes, but with gold, where you don't just have a golden Easter egg with $100 in it, man. You got everything there.
Amen.
Because it's not the money, really. It's not the bunny. It's the Savior.
Amen.
And I'm so glad I got him.
Yes.
Jesse Kresge put it right. Jesse Kresge said this. He said, I may not be the richest guy in my family, but I am very rich.
Amen.
Because I've got Jesus.
Hey.
He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he is coming again. And thank God, if you're here when he comes again, you'll not see the undertaker, you'll see the upper taker. And you'll go up. And those that have died will be raised up. And that is the message, because He is the hope for your hopelessness, because the Lord gives you the fulfillment of His hope. So He lets your human hopes die, but then He gives you in its place His hope. Would you do that today? Would you trade your hopes in for His hopes? Your dreams, take them and light them on fire. And let him put in the place His dreams. You'll never regret it. I end my message with the words of Jim Elliot, who gave his life to reach the Aka Indians. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jesus gave His all so you could have that hope in Him. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed.